Boy, what a lot of nonsense that was. Welcome, folks. Pastor Eli James here. We're going to start Talk Sheep.
Talk Sheep.
Recorded live.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James here, and this is Yahweh's Covenant People. And we're just going to get right into the part two of Willie Martin's article, Jesus Was Not a Jew. And we had a real problem, or actually I should say Willie Martin has a real problem, because he does not understand the difference between a Jew and a Judahite, although he tries to make the point that there's a difference between a Jew and a Judahite. Unfortunately, he uses the word Jew, in two different senses, and we can't do that. The word Jew should just be applied to the people who call themselves Jews, and that's all it should be applied to. Should never be applied to Judah, because the Judahites are a distinct race who, throughout the existence of Old Testament Judah, were forbidden to intermarry with non-Israelites, just as the other 12 tribes were forbidden to intermarry with non-Israelites. But Jews are, in fact, the most race-mixed genome, and actually descend from the Sephardim and the Edomites of the Old Testament. They're not even Israelites. Therefore, we have different DNA. The Edomites have different DNA from the Israelites, and the Sephardim have different DNA from the Israelites, just as blacks have different DNA from Israelites, and Chinamen have different DNA from Israelites. And in Genesis 1:11, the word tells us that all these different species have their seed within themselves and reproduce according to their own kind. That is the definition of species or race, however you want to put it. And DNA is the biochemical substance that perpetuates the species from parent to child. That's the way it is. That's simply the way it is. All right, folks, let's continue. We started we ended last time in the middle of Willie Martin's document here, Jesus Was Not a Jew. And he started talking about the establishing the nationality of the house of David. So let me just back up to that last sentence in this paragraph here. And here, let me see if I can get this link for everybody. So if you weren't tuned in last week, there it is in the chat room. Christ Was Not a Jew by Willie Martin. It is clear in Scripture that a people and race were selected through whom, according to the promise, the coming one who was to be the Savior, Jesus Christ the King, would come. It was the line of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob Israel. The descendants of Abraham, however, even through Isaac and Jacob, are represented in different branches of the human race. The Turk and the Arab are descendants of Abraham, but not through Jacob. It is through the 12 sons of Jacob that the promise of the coming one was to be fulfilled. One son of the 12 was selected for this purpose. Now, it's very interesting that the Caucasian people, R1B1 or R1A1, typically the Caucasian people, that is the Israelites, have R1 DNA, which is easily distinguished and is the most common genome for white people. And we can see that anybody who has done a DNA trace will show that the Caucasian people originated from what is today called Armenia, that territory where our ancient ancestors, the Israelites, were taken captive by the Assyrians. It was called Assyria in those days, right near Nineveh. And we can trace the spread of the Caucasian people right from there. DNA proves it. DNA proves it. And guess six. You're gone. You're gone. He doesn't seem to understand what DNA is, and I haven't got time to argue with someone who doesn't even know what DNA is. So let's continue. Willie Martin, in a previous paragraph, said, "Let us therefore proceed to establish the nationality of Jesus by establishing the nationality of the house of David." And then I just quoted the next paragraph. "It is through the 12 sons of Jacob that the promise of the coming one was to be fulfilled. One son of the 12 was selected for this purpose. In studying the blessings given by Jacob to his 12 sons, as recorded in the 49th chapter of Genesis, the scepter or kingly line was to come through Judah, but only. But as with Abraham, so with Judah, his descendants are not confined to one people. The Jew, as we know him today, is only a small minority of all the Jews on earth." This is very confused. I think what he's trying to say is that the Edomites, the Sephardim, are only a small minority of all the Jews on earth. Willie Martin here is apparently, again, mistakenly confusing Judahites with Judeans. And we know that in the days of Christ, it was the Edomite Judeans who were the problem. It wasn't the Judahites of Judah. It was the Edomites who were the problem. And so he said, "The Jew who are descended through Esau, Judah and other Israelites who mixed with the other races." Well, there was very little of that done by the Judahites and Israelites. And the reason why Yahweh expelled the 12 tribes, ultimately all 12 tribes, were expelled into the wilderness, was because they were race mixing. But he expelled them into the wilderness so they wouldn't do that anymore. So again, we're talking as he should really stress Edomite Jew and not lump Israelites and Judahites in with the word Jew. That's the big mistake that he's committing here. And then he says, "And as such, these mixed race Israelites he's talking about, as such, never received the promised blessing of having the scepter or of being the kingly line. For that passed to another in the line of Judah, centuries before the Jew as such became the rulers of Palestine and Jerusalem." Well, the Jew as such were Edomites. And we have traced the beginning of the Jewish line of descent, that is the Edomite Jewish line of descent, into Palestine for about 100 years before the coming of Christ. And this is all detailed in Josephus, how these Edomites took over Judah. When Herod assassinated the last princes of Judah, assassinated the Sanhedrin and replaced them with Edomites. So here, Willie Martin needs to distinguish between Edomite Jews and Judahites, and he doesn't do that. But he continues. "Judah had three sons, Phares, Zerah, and Shelah. Phares," well, actually had five sons, but two of them died before they could impregnate Tamar. "Phares and Zerah were born out of wedlock, while the two brothers of Shelah, Er and Onan, died before Phares and Zerah were born. Without going into too much detail, but which detail can be found in the Bible, Phares alone became the progenitor of the tribe of Judah." He was the elder brother, and he became the progenitor of Phares Judah. But Zerah Judah was still a progenitor of the tribe of Judah. He was just a younger son. Let's continue. "The descendants of Zerah left Egypt before the Exodus and became the progenitors of the Milesian civilization that was established around the shores of the Mediterranean." Absolutely, this is totally correct. But Willie Martin needs to understand that these people are still Judahites. Okay, let me see if these guests 8 and 9 are trolls or non-trolls. We'll see. So I had no idea that Willie Martin was so confused about all this stuff. I think I posted this because I just assumed, put this on my website, because I just assumed that Willie Martin was up to speed on the differences between Judahites and Jews. But at least this is very correct, that Zerah-Judah left Egypt before the Exodus and became the progenitors of the Milesian civilization that was established around the shores of the Mediterranean. But though the line of Judah, they were not Jews. Yes, there's no such thing as a Judahite Jew. There's one or the other. A Judahite is a member of the tribe of Judah. A Jew is a pretend Israelite deriving from the Edomites and Canaanites around this time. In other words, Idumeans. They were known as Idumeans. And they were pretending to be Judah. So a Jew is anyone who pretends to be a Judahite or pretends to be an Israelite. And unfortunately, Willie Martin has got, he believes that a lot of Judahites should be referred to as Jews. And no, we should never refer to Judahites as Jews, because they never called themselves Jews. They called themselves Judah. Oh, the only people who call themselves Jews are the descendants of these Edomites, and today, of course, Khazars. And so they're the ones who are called Jews, and no one else should be called a Jew. The descendants of Shelah, who were workers in fine linen, left the rest of Israel shortly after the Exodus and before Israel entered the Promised Land and joined with their brethren of the Zerah line in their westward trek. I'm not sure that that's the case. Troublemaker, you're saying that Er and Onan were murdered by Yahweh? I don't think Yahweh murders. I think Yahweh judges. Yahweh does not murder. That's you, Troublemaker, you're bordering on blasphemy when you say that. That's a very blasphemous statement you're making there. I think you need to correct yourself for a while, because he had to get rid of them, because otherwise the bloodline would be polluted. Tamar's womb would have been polluted. And they had committed sins. Well, they were Edomites anyway. So they, and all Edomites, Yahweh hates all Edomites. So he can judge them at any time he wants. So the word murder is totally inappropriate there, Troublemaker. Totally inappropriate. But let's continue. Judah, the son of Jacob, was not a Jew, but a Hebrew and an Israelite. There you go. So far, so good. A Hebrew because he was of the line of Heber, who was one of Abraham's great-grandfathers, five generations before Abraham, and an Israelite because he was the son of Jacob, who was the first Israelite. So far, the record is clear. And now, when it comes to following the line of Judah in its many branches, most students have assumed without investigation that there are no subdivisions in this line, an assumption contrary to the facts as shown in Scripture and verified by history. Well, there's two subdivisions, Zerah and Pharez, Pharez being the older. And really, that's all there is. It's just those two. And all the other sub-tribes, because we have, let's put it this way, we have kingly descendants of both Pharez and Zerah, and those two lines later on intermarried, which clears up the confusion as to which line should we follow. It doesn't really matter, since they intermarried. When the Milesian king, I can't remember his name right now, intermarried with Tiatefi, or Skada, I believe it was Skada, that one of the Milesian kings, descendant of Zerah, intermarried with Skada of the Pharez line, that solved the problem of, you know, who should we follow, Pharez or Zerah? So ever since that intermarriage, bringing the two lines back together, it's no longer a problem. Okay, so he continues. For while Phares became the progenitor of the tribe of Judah, he became the progenitor of the tribe of Phares. But he was the firstborn son, so therefore he got the scepter, is what is what Willie Martin should be saying here. He continues, the scepter was promised to Judah, but studying and following the line of Judah, one discovers that out of the tribe of Judah, God selected the house of David as the one who would wield the scepter. Okay, well, David is descendant of whom? It was to David the Lord said, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. For our Fenton renders this, your house and your kingship shall endure forever. Your throne shall be established forever. And of course, we know that when Yahshua comes, and the last earthly king slash queen, and most people in identity believe that Queen Elizabeth II is a direct descendant of the line of David, although she may have mixed blood. There are others, there's four or five other kingly dynasties also descended from David, I believe in Sweden and Norway and a couple other countries in Europe who have not mixed with non-white blood. So we can see that, and we're just about ready for the judgment day when Yahshua will return. So this prophecy that the king line of Judah will last forever will be fulfilled in Yahshua. In any case, it will be fulfilled in Yahshua when he comes again. Okay, so let's continue here. So the house of Judah and the house of David are tied together. House of David is a branch of the house of Judah. Even then, the Edomites, after Esau, the father of the Jews, okay, that's good. The Jews are Edomites. Stick with that, Willie. Stick with that, and you'll be okay. We're working to destroy God's Israel people. For we find Edom warring against Solomon in 1 Kings 11, 14 through 17, and he quotes, and Yahweh stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. For it came to pass, when David was in Edom, and Joab the captain of the host was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom. Now this is obviously the Israelites failed to exterminate the Canaanites, which was their duty. When Yahweh told them, you must get rid of these Canaanites, because if you don't, they will be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side forever, or at least until the judgment day. And of course, the Israelites didn't listen to them, listen to Yahweh, and therefore allowed many of these Edomites to live, and those are the Edomites that are today known as Jews. So Willie Martin seems to understand this here. Okay, hold on. I have to unplug my phone. Give me 1 second. Okay, I'm back. And so, let's finish this quote. That Hadad fled, and he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. So we can see the Jews working under the name of Edom to destroy God's Israel people, but the Jews never appeared in the house of David. That is correct. That is correct, because Tamar, who is the mother of both Phares and Zerah, was a Shemitic woman of Aram. So even though they were born out of wedlock, they were pure-blooded Aryan Israelites. And that's the important thing. They were pure-blooded. This is what Matthew and Luke were trying to relate to Christians, but it went over their heads for lack of knowledge. Well, because most Judeo-Christians pay no attention to these seed lines because they think all races are the same. And of course, Yahweh says, no. Israel is a special people, a peculiar and dedicated people. We're not like the other races in the world, and we cannot be considered like them. Yahweh is jealous of Israel. He wants us to be dedicated to him, and we were dedicated to him when Isaac was dedicated on the altar. And no other people were ever dedicated this way. Now, Esau would have had the dedication, but he sold his birthright to Jacob because he despised his birthright. So that leaves only one seed line that is part of the covenant, and that is the seed line from Israel, Jacob Israel. So he goes down the list of the two houses, or the two lines of descent from David to Jesus, and it's quite long. It's quite a long list, so I won't be going through all of that. But he's going to talk about the difference here, I think, between the line of Joseph and the line of Mary. So let's continue here. Nevertheless, to this day, there are those who cannot believe anything other than that Christianity is only a continuation of the Jewish religion with certain additions that are peculiarly Christian. What fatal nonsense is this? Yes, that's fatal nonsense. The Jews had no part in writing the Old Testament, whatever, because when we use the word Jew, we're talking about Edomites in this historical context, and there is no such thing as an Edomite Judahite. There is no such thing. An Edomite is an Edomite, and a Judahite is a Judahite. It's just like east is west, east and west is west, and ne'er the twain shall meet. An impostor in his place would not have dared to flout the authority of Moses and the prophets, nor to invite comparisons with them. Yet Christ, speaking to the scribes and Pharisees who were asking for a sign, told them that a greater than Jonas and greater than Solomon is here, meaning, of course, himself. Had he been only the son of man, with no more authority than that of a wandering teacher of righteousness, as modern Jewry would have us believe, they don't even want you to think that he was a teacher of righteousness. The Jews want you to believe that he was the son of Mary and a Roman centurion, and that Mary was a whore. That's what the Jews teach. Because why do they teach that? Because they're Edomites. That's why. They're not Israelites. If they were Israelites, they would have accepted the Messiah. And this question must be asked. I've asked it many times. Why in the world would the Jews, if they're in fact Israelites, reject salvation? Why would they reject this? Why would they reject the salvation that Jesus offered on the cross? The reason they rejected it is because it wasn't offered to them. They're not Israelites. That's why they had to murder Jesus, because, what's the passage? They murdered him so that they could steal the inheritance. Okay, no, I didn't hang up. People are telling me the sound is gone. Okay, sorry. Let me double check, see what's going on here. We're still on the air on Eurofolk Radio, and I don't know what's going on with TalkShoe. We should still be live on TalkShoe as well. Okay, try clicking on the trouble hearing button. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say. No, I didn't hang up because I'm calling on Skype. Let me check Skype, make sure Skype is still active. Okay, something happened to Skype. All right. Those of you on EFR, I'm going to have to call back in. For some reason, Skype dropped. Sorry about that. Okay.
Please enter Hold your on, conference folks. ID followed by the pound sign. Please enter your conference ID followed by the pound sign. enter your PIN followed by the pound key. If you are... You are now joining the call.
Talk sheet.
Okay. Live.
Sorry about that, folks.
You are unmuted.
Had to call back in. Somehow Skype just failed in the middle of the show. So let me just back up a little bit because people listening on TalkShoe probably missed some of the things that I just spoke. I think we lost maybe 4 minutes. And we're back online. So, but the question I was asking when Skype failed was, why in the world would the Jews, if they indeed are Israelites, why would they reject salvation? Why would they reject the forgiving, having their old sins forgiven at the cross? Why? That would be stupid. That would be the stupidest thing any group of people had ever done. But the reason why they didn't accept the sacrifice on the cross was because it wasn't for them. They aren't Israelites. They're Edomites. So their sins weren't forgiven at the cross. They had nothing to do with Judah or Israel. So that's why they murdered Christ, is because Christ is not a Jew. And the Jews are not Israelites. See how simple this is once you understand the difference between a Jew and an Israelite? So if you keep confusing Jews with Israelites, you'll never understand this. It makes it impossible to understand why Jews would reject the Messiah. It is precisely because Jesus was not of their genome. He did not share their DNA, and Jews don't share the DNA of Israel. It's two completely different genomes. And the DNA studies prove it, right? The Jews are not Judah, troublemaker. You're totally confused. You're as confused as Willie Martin. The Jewish people are Edomites. In this historical context, the people called Jews are descended from Edom and from Canaan. That's just that simple. It's really that simple. I can't understand why you don't understand this. The bloodline is pure. The Bible says so. It's absolutely pure. Otherwise, the Messiah could not have even been born. He had to be born of a pure bloodline. And this is why the Jews reject him, because he was a pure Judahite, and the Jews are mongrels. They're mongrels. And so Israelites can't be mongrels. It's just that simple. Okay, let's continue here. So he said, had he been only the Son of Man with no more authority than that of a wandering teacher of righteousness, as modern Jewry would have us believe, and of course they don't even believe that much about Jesus because they teach that he was the son of a whore and a Roman soldier, they would have stoned him to death for saying that. Well, the Jews tried to stone him to death. His attitude toward the best that the past had to give, including Moses, the law, and the prophets, was scarcely more than a respectful indifference. Who? Yeshua's attitude or the Jews' attitude? This is confused. At the same time, for those who had not yet abandoned the old nor chosen the more excellent way, he merely counseled compliance with the old. Men realized, as they never did before, that when he did speak with authority, there was the combined weight of the whole universe behind his words. Okay, I go with that. The positive conviction and assurance of his message and personality were his heavenly credentials. Whatever he called himself, that indeed he was. Let them say what they will of the miraculous birth to account for his presence among men. But certainly, Yahshua appreciated the law and the prophets. He never criticized the law and the prophets. So I don't know what point Willie Martin is trying to make here. Certainly he's above. He is greater than all the law and the prophets, but that doesn't demean the law and the prophets in any way. So he continues, Be aware that the scribes and Pharisees did question his authority. Yes, and so did the devil in the temptation in the desert. That was their business, and they were answered on each and every occasion. But their object was merely to win a point in an argument and had little, if anything, to do with the search for truth. Of course, the Jews don't have no inclination to search for truth. They know what the truth is. They know that they're Edomites and Canaanites and Khazars and Kenites. They know that they're the evil seed. And so we don't even need to remind them of that. What we're trying to do is remind the rest of the world who the Jews really are, what their DNA really is. So he continues, the real significance of these parleys, and of course, Yahshua had numerous parleys and confrontations with the Pharisees, these Edomite Pharisees. The real significance of these parleys lies in the fact that both the scribes and the devil appeal to tradition. For is it not written, etc., betraying a slavish adherence to the past that is typical of Judaism? Here again, Judaism is not the religion of the Old Testament. Judaism and Talmudism are the same thing. And Talmudism is nothing but commentaries on the Old Testament by a group of people who aren't Israelites. So they're phony Judahites, they're phony Israelites, and they don't believe in the Mosaic Law. So they strike out on every point. And then he says, albeit a feigned adherence to the traditions of Moses, which are words that I added here. Christ's mentality contrasts so vividly with the satanic mindedness, a backward-looking type of mind, that this distinction alone divides him from the Jewish people. Well, from the Edomites. Yeah, and we have different mentalities. And we have different DNA. DNA and your spirit go together. Any particular DNA of a particular people, such as blacks or Latinos or Asians, they have a different spirit. They don't have the same spirit as white people, and the spirit goes with the race. That's the way it is. It is utterly irrational to assume that he could have evolved from a people with a hidebound concept of morality, of ethics, of deity and humanity, and their relations to each other in the most despicable ways. Yeah, he didn't come from evil seed. The Jews are evil seed. I like that, Latinos. Okay, yeah, most of these Mexicans today are Latinos because the Ladino is the term for Marano Jews who left Spain around 1492. But let's continue. Yeah, so obviously there's a tremendous difference both in race and in spirit between Yahshua and the Jews and between Israelites and the Jews. No doubt about this. Excuse me. Even without the support of history, this is a difference which alone would lift him immeasurably above the level of those whose only moral guidance was, thus it is written. Well, the Talmud is simply rabbinical opinions about the Old Testament. That's all it is. And most of them are denials of the Mosaic Law. So there's no way that Judaism can be compared with Mosaism. There's no way. That's just another Jewish lie, and that must be thoroughly understood, that Judaism is the opposite, is 180 degrees the opposite of Mosaism. He continues, his mentality was alive and unbound. It was not derived from Judaism, but in spite of it. Okay, well said. Let us briefly follow the history of the house of Judah and note a few of the highlights so important in proving that even the house of Judah are not Jews. Okay, very good. Just prior to the, see now, if he would simply use the word Judahite for the descendants of Judah, and he would preface Jew with the word Edomite for Old Testament Jews, then things would be clear. Just prior to the Babylonian captivity, a remnant from this house took Jeremiah and his band, against Jeremiah's advice, into Egypt. The prophetic forecast as given by Jeremiah was fulfilled in their descendants, who became the people we know today as the Gypsies. And though the Gypsies are descendants of the house of Judah, they are not Jews. Well, let's see if there's any relevance here to Gypsies. The major portion of the house of Judah was carried away into Babylonian captivity. When at the close of the 70 years of that captivity, a remnant of this house returned to Jerusalem, the balance of the house of Judah, still in Babylon, ultimately moved north and west and joined with their brethren of Israel in their westward trek. Now that's interesting. I hadn't heard that before. But that would make sense that if the Judahites imprisoned in Babylon were to join their fellow Israelites in Assyria, they certainly would have heard of one another. They certainly would have heard of one another. There's no doubt about that. And it's interesting that he would suggest this. Because I have always taught that the balance of Judah and Benjamin in Palestine that was taken by the Assyrians around 700 AD were the major portion of Judah and Benjamin added to the 10 tribes, and all 12 tribes therefore crossed the Caucasus Mountains and became known as the Caucasian Israelites. But here he's saying that there's a substantial number of Judahites from Babylon as well. And that's certainly possible. In the course of time, these descendants of the house of Judah became the Jutes of Jutland. There you go. Very good. Or Judalanders. And in the 5th century AD, took part with the Saxons in the invasion of England. But there were no Jews in this branch of the house of Judah. Very good. At the end of the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, a remnant of the house of Judah, just a small part, not the entire house of Judah, and I think the number was 72,000, if I'm not mistaken. It's the exact number is stated in Scripture. Returned to Palestine with the tribe, maybe it was 42,000, maybe somebody could look that up while I'm doing this. Returned to Palestine with the tribe of Benjamin and some of the royal seed of David, as well as a few of the tribe of Levi. A small portion of this group married other races and became Jew, but they were not all Jews. Now here, okay, here is where Willie Martin needs to get more specific. And because my notation here, but Ezra and Nehemiah expelled those who had become race mixed. See Ezra chapter 10, Nehemiah 10:28-31, and various passages in those two books clearly state that the mixed race offspring and their wives had to be expelled from Jerusalem and from Judah. Had to be expelled. So there was no broad-scale race mixing among the returnees. That's just not the case. I think Willie Martin is believing the version of Rabbi Stephen Wise, who said that after the return from Babylon, the Jewish religion was born. No, it wasn't. The Jewish religion was not born after the return of Babylon. It wasn't born until the Edomites took over Judea, took over Judah in the 1st century BC. That's when Judaism was born. So that's just a lie by Rabbi Wise to confuse people. Okay? So, let's continue here. The Benjaminites were a tribe in Israel and therefore not Jews. Okay, very good. The royal seed were of the house of David, while the priests were of the tribe of Levi. Certain ones, both of the house of Judah that had returned from Babylon and some of the priests, intermarried with the inhabitants of the land. Yes, they did this for a while. These intermarriages were severely condemned by both Ezra and Nehemiah. Amen. These forbidden marriages were made with the Hittites and other Edomites, and this in time produced a distinct racial type whom we call Jews. Okay, that's good. That's fair enough. But these people were expelled from the company of Judah, and they no longer intermixed with them. They had to be expelled into Edom or other Canaanite lands, such as Hittite lands. In other words, the Jew, as we know him today, is not of pure Israel stock. Very good. But the blood of Hittites, Canaanites, and Khazars flows in their veins. This intermarriage gave the Jew his dark hair and eyes and the facial characteristics by which he is known and recognized today. Very good. The origin of the Jew does not therefore antedate the return from the Babylonian captivity, and in my opinion, it does not antedate the first century BC, because this is not when wholesale mixing occurred, and those who were race mixed were expelled. So there wasn't, because they had to be expelled. Otherwise, the blood of Yahshua may have been tainted in the bloodline. Ezra and Nehemiah could not allow that to happen. So the Jews, therefore, result from an admixture of Hittite blood after return from Babylon to Palestine, but these people were not blended in with Judah or Benjamin. They were confined to Samaria and to Edom. It's totally separate territories. They were not allowed into Judah, and they were not allowed into, Benjamin became known as Galilee. So, again, it seems like Willie Martin is relying on the false testimony of Rabbi Stephen Wise, who made this claim that Judaism was born right after the return from the Babylonian captivity. No, it wasn't. Because the house of David was selected from the tribe of Judah many centuries prior to the time of these interracial marriages, there are no Jews as such in the house of David. Yes, that is true. There are no Jews in the house of David. There are no Jews in the house of Judah. There are no Jews in the house of Israel. There are no Jews in the house of Shem. There are no Jews in the house of Heber. There are no Jews in the house of Abraham or Isaac. Jews are a completely different genome. They do not have our DNA. They, at best, they are Edomites and Canaanites with a smattering of Israelite blood. And today, they're Edomites, Canaanites, and Khazars with a very, very, very small proportion of Israelite blood, if they have any at all. But they, in any case, they cannot be counted as either Israel or Judah. So, although Ezra and Nehemiah expelled those race-mixed Jews from the company of Judah and Benjamin, these mongrelized people continued to flourish in the non-Israelite settlements surrounding Judah. They also continued to be the bitter enemies of the house of Judah. Okay? You cannot be your own enemy. Unless you're a self-hating Jew. You can be your own enemy if you're a self-hating Jew. But there's no such thing as a self-hating Judahite. There's no such thing as a self-hating Israelite. Now we will turn to the record as given in the New Testament, which furnishes further evidence that Jesus was of the house of David and not of the house of Judah, or nor of the branch of that house represented in Jewry. Well, Jesus was certainly of the house of Judah because David comes from Judah, as is repeated many times in the New Testament. Luke states the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And of course, Mary was of the house of David also, and both of them were of the house of Judah. But a very specific seed line within the house of Judah, and that is the royal seed line through David. Luke 1:26, in the Annunciation to Mary, the angel declared, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Luke 1:32. Now, of course, this has not yet been fulfilled. Why has it not been fulfilled? because Jesus was executed by the Jews, the Edomite Jews, before he could take the throne. And of course, this is all a part of Yahweh's plan, that Yahshua would first sacrifice himself for the old sins, the past sins of the Israelites, thereby giving us a clean slate. A clean slate. I'm trying to think of the other term, not carte blanche. Carte blanche means a blank check where you can write yourself, you can keep on sinning forever and still be forgiven. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches a clean slate. So in other words, the old sins were wiped off. And that's what Paul means in Colossians 2:14, when he says that chirographon was nailed to the cross. Chirographon was nailed to the cross. What's chirographon? That's the indictment, the list of sins that Israel was guilty of up to that point in time. So this does not give us a license to sin in the future. It simply cleansed the house of Israel of their old sins. So in other words, you have a blank slate. Your sins are cleaned from you. That does not mean you can go and keep on sinning. You have the same, you will be judged at the judgment day if you go on sinning. There's no doubt about this. Okay, he continues. In the Annunciation to Mary the angel declared, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Yes, and that will come at the second coming, and that will perpetuate the line of David. That will perpetuate, because we said that royal dynasty will last forever. It will last forever. But the last king will be Yahshua, and his reign will be forever from the day that he assumes that role. And by that very declaration confirms that he is of the lineage of David, amen, or else the angel Gabriel could not refer to David as his father. Many statements in both the Old and New Testament prove him to be a descendant of David. Every one of the prophecies concerning the Messiah by inference or by direct mention refer to the Messiah as of the house of David. Isaiah informs us, quote, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Isaiah 11:1, Jeremiah declared, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. That's Jeremiah 23:5-6. Of course, righteousness is obedience to the law. The law, he will rule with a rod of iron, it tells us elsewhere. He will not be this mamby-pamby, oh, do what you please, Jesus, that the churches teach today. After the resurrection and ascension, God gave his son a special revelation, which he communicated through John to his followers. It was a letter sent by him through his messenger. At its close, Jesus said of himself, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star, Revelation 22:16. There can be no question as to his being of the house of David. Amen. None of the disciples other than Judas the traitor, as a good many of their kind, were Jews. Okay, let's keep the distinction clear here. They were Galileans and therefore from the tribe of Benjamin. It was the members of this tribe and not the Jews who accepted the teachings of Jesus and afterwards became Christians. But there were Judahites in Judea as well as Edomite Jews. And many of these Judahites were believers and believed on him, as the Bible says. But the Edomites were incapable of believing on him because they're of the bloodline of Satan. It was Judas who betrayed him, and it was the Jews who fought the Christians, persecuting and driving them from Jerusalem, causing the early church to be scattered abroad. John tells us that during the ministry of Jesus, quote, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. John 7:1. The inference is clear. There were no Jews in Galilee where Benjamin was residing, and Jesus confined his activities to this territory for the time being and kept out of Jewry or the territory of the Jews. Amen. After the resurrection of Lazarus, which fact was reported to the Pharisees, a council was called of the Pharisees and chief priests to see what could be done about him. Quote, then from that day forth they sought counsel together for to put him to death. Not the Romans, the Jews. Not the Romans, the Jews sought to kill him. John 11:53. This fact was known to Jesus, and so John states, quote, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. John 11:53-54. Jerusalem was the seat of the Sanhedrin and the stronghold of Jewry. This is because Herod the Edomite had assassinated the last true king of Judah, Hyrcanus II, and had taken the kingdom by force, thanks to the help of Mark Antony of Rome. Here they were powerful and were able to wreak vengeance upon anyone who opposed them. But the hour drew near when Jesus knew he must go to Jerusalem, and so Luke tells us, quote, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Well, he had to be executed by the Jews, because the Jews had to reveal their treachery. He would not be killed by Israelites. He would be killed by Edomites. So Christ took the 12 disciples aside as they journeyed towards the city, telling them, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, who were virtually all Edomites, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the nations to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and in the third day he shall rise again. Matthew 20, verses 18 through 19. And we only have about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to try to get through this here. Although Jesus and his disciples are believed by most of the Judeo-Christian clergy of today to be Jews as to their faith and religion, and yet only one of their number was actually a Jew. It was he, the traitor, namely Judas, who betrayed him. The failure to make the distinction between one who is a Jew by birth and one who is a Jew by faith has led to much confusion regarding the use of the word Jew in the New Testament. Also, it has to be understood that the word Jew should never be applied to Judah, should never be applied to Israel. It should only be applied to Edomites and their co-religionists in this era. Judaism is not the religion of Moses. So Moses was not a Jew, either by race or by religion. And therefore, neither was Yahshua a Jew by race or by religion. Those are two completely different categories. Judaism and Jewry are on one side. Judah and Mosaism are on the other side. The two are opposites. They cannot be equated. So when you equate them, you do nothing but cause confusion. When Peter denied that he was one of the disciples, Jesus at the time of his trial, he was told, thy speech betrayeth thee. For our Fenton translates this, for your dialect proves it plainly. Yeah, he had a Galilean dialect. Why could they say this of Peter? It could only be said of Peter, though by faith a Judahite, not a Jew, by faith a Judahite, was not one racially, for he was a Galilean and of the tribe of Benjamin, and his dialect would be that of a Galilean, thus not Jewish. Jewry recognized that the men of Galilee were the followers of Jesus and that his disciples were Galileans. And so at Jesus' trial, Peter, being known to be a Galilean, was immediately accused of being one of his followers. Well, he was witnessed by many people, being with him on numerous occasions. Let it be recognized and understood that all who are declared to be Jews in the New Testament are Jews by faith and may not be Jews racially. Here again, the fact is, all Jews are a race-mixed bunch of Motley Crue people. They are not purebred Israelites. They are not purebred Judahites. They are not purebred anything. They're mongrels. And these mongrels cannot be considered Israelites or Judahites because these people, Israelites and Judahites, have to be purebred. The Bible is absolutely clear about this. He continues, "This is clear from the statement in Acts describing certain ones who had come up to Jerusalem to attend the Feast of Pentecost. We are told that many Jews, devout men," now here again, the word Jew is mistaken. When Peter addressed the assembled Israelites at Pentecost, he addressed them by saying, "Ye men of Israel." He did not say, "You Jews." He said, "Ye men of Israel." It's right there in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and 3. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. He did not call them Jews. He called them Israel. There's always a distinction between the two. Okay? So I think at this point, I need to go into an informed consensus. And I wrote two articles on this subject that we need to have a common terminology, that we can all agree is correct. And the basic problem is that the word Jew is applied by the Jews themselves and by Judeo-Christians and virtually the rest of the world to two disparate people, to two distinctly separate groups of people, namely Judahites and Edomites. You can't do that. They're not the same. So you have to use more precise language. Precisely, the tribe of Judah must be referred to as Judah, and the race-mixed Jews must be referred to as Jew. When you see that these two words have different designations, namely two separate and distinct tribes or races or breeds, but certainly two separate and distinct tribes, and you cannot confuse the two. If you confuse the two, you will simply misunderstand Scripture, and you will be jumping through hoops, as Willie Martin is here trying to explain what should be very obvious. That no Jew can be an Israelite, no Jew can be a Judahite, and no Israelite is a Jew, period. End of story. Yeah, and I don't have time to go into the Hebrew and Greek, but in the Greek it's Judeos, meaning Judean, which is a territorial term. And in the Hebrew, Judah is a tribe, an unrace-mixed tribe. That's the difference. These are two completely different words. All right, folks, I'm going to have to call it a day right here. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. Next time.